Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The New York Police Department is investigating sexual assault allegations against restaurateur Mario Batali. He stepped down from his businesses in December after he was accused of sexual harassment, one of the latest ticks in the ongoing Me Too movement that's been going on since last year.
And there's breaking news tonight in the case of movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. Just a short time ago,
about inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace by Matt Lauer.
CBS This Morning co-host Charlie Rose has been terminated by CBS News. This comes after
he is resigning. The women accusing him, Snyderman, of non-consensual physical violence.
Joining us now for a look at where the movement is now and where it's going is Anna North, who's a senior reporter at Vox. Anna, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
And as of the end of April, you tallied more than 200 celebrities, CEOs, politicians, media executives, and others who have been accused since April 2017, just over the past year. Where are we now with the Me Too movement?
That's a great question. So we're about 6 months into this kind of current iteration of the Me Too movement. Obviously, you know, Me Too as a term has been around for a long time. Tarana Burke kind of coined it really about a decade ago. But I would date, you know, this particular sort of version to the big expose about Harvey Weinstein in the Times, mm-hmm. which was in early October. And so I'd say we're kind of we're approaching a sort of really interesting time in the movement where we've had a lot of really high-profile men be accused and some women, and we've had a lot of high-profile dismissals. And I think a lot of people are asking what happens next.
Well, do you have a sense of whether the movement has peaked or whether it's just the beginning?
I think the sort of wave of media coverage that we saw where, you know, it felt like there were months there where, you know, another powerful person was kind of being deposed or at least called out every day. It feels like that wave has abated a bit. At the same time, I think there's still a lot of conversation about, you know, what are we going to do as a society about these issues? That kind of conversation is really important to continue, and we can't lose sight of it.
Well, the movement has hit a lot of powerful and famous people, including, of course, Matt Lauer at NBC, who's a household name, but also much less well-known people, political aides of former state assemblymen. Who stands out to you so far as having had a major impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you can look at Weinstein as mm-hmm. sort of this initial figure. And I think for a lot of the women and survivors who came forward, the women who came forward about Weinstein really paved the way for them. You know, I would also mention Aziz Ansari here because although, you know, what he was accused of is quite different, obviously, from what, say, Harvey Weinstein mm-hmm. was accused of. I think it was this sort of interesting watershed moment for me, too, where we had to talk about, you know, is this going to be about only workplace conduct or are we going to talk also about private relationships between men and women?
Well, and there's the question of what the definition of the Me Too movement is and what fits into it and what doesn't. I was sort of surprised to see that Eric Schneiderman, the New York Attorney General, who was just accused of sexual abuse by four women, stepped down immediately. Given that that's abuse rather than unwanted advances, as was the case in some situations, do you think that Eric Schneiderman is Me Too?
Right. It's a really good question. And I think ultimately, you know, this is a broad-based movement and people are going to sort of have their own definitions of what falls under it. But I think it's clearly a time when people are invested in talking about violence against women as well as sort of sexual mm-hmm. harassment and when people are invested in talking about all these kinds of power relationships. And certainly the kinds of things that Schneiderman is accused of certainly amount to abuse of power. Certainly in that way, I think he falls in line with some of the other men we've seen accused.
What about Bill Cosby? I mean, in his case, being accused of drugging and raping women, obviously very different than sexual harassment at the office, or do you see them as part of the same problem?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, clearly not every case that we've seen in Me Too really involves activity that can be called criminal. But, you know, you also saw with a lot of those women, people saying, I thought we were going to get together and talk about my career, or I thought that he would help me. Mm-hmm. And that's something a lot of women have said really about a lot of men who've been accused as part of Me Too, that they thought that they were going to get career help. And instead, what they got was something really different.
I've been surprised, as somebody who used to cover Wall Street, that we haven't heard more about people on Wall Street. Are there industries that you think have been left out of this movement?
Yeah, I mean, I have heard that about Wall Street, too. And I think the law, you know, is another one that we've kind of heard of. And I'll also say there's been a fair amount of coverage of industries like hospitality, agriculture, restaurants and hotels. At the same time, sometimes that coverage doesn't break through in the same way that sort of a big expose about a celebrity can. And it's also true that when the alleged harasser or the alleged abuser is not famous, I think that can be harder to kind of get people to pay attention. Mm-hmm. So if it's like a hotel guest or a restaurant patron who's harassing his waitress, I think sometimes that's harder to sort of get the big splashy expose that everybody reads.
One of the famous examples from the Me Too movement was in politics, Senator Al Franken, who resigned on the Senate floor in December. Let's listen.
I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office, and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls' campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party.
What do you think about that, Franken, a Democrat, resigned, and yet President Trump has been accused of a lot of things that would fall into this movement, and Roy Moore, who he's talking about there, who was going for that Senate seat in Alabama, they didn't step down. They, you know, Moore didn't win, but they didn't, you know, step back as he did.
No, I mean, you know, Moore, I think, remains defiant despite his loss. And of course, Trump is still in the White House.
Right.
It's something that has been brought up a lot. I think the fact that, you know, Trump has been accused of sexual misconduct now by, I think it's 19 women, and, you know, has ultimately faced like relatively few consequences for those accusations, although he's now being sued not just by Stormy Daniels, who doesn't allege misconduct, but he's also being sued by Summer Zervos, who does allege some sexual misconduct. And that case might actually open up some cans of worms for Trump down the road. You know, I think this has been very frustrating for a number of people that I've talked to. It's very frustrating to see, you know, this in some ways the most powerful person in the country almost standing apart from Me Too and not facing anything. You know, at the same time, I think there's a valid question to ask, you know, just because Trump is still in the White House, does that mean that men like Al Franken shouldn't face consequences for what they're accused of? I'm not sure Trump provides an excuse for other men in that way.
Do you think we've started to see any broader social changes as a result of the Me Too movement?
I certainly hope that we have, and I hope that we will. I think we're starting to see certain things. One thing I've been looking at a lot is workplaces that have had, you know, high-profile sort of Me Too dismissals and what they're doing to change their practices, because a lot of times, as we've seen, you know, it's not just one bad apple. There's often a systemic problem, and there's often people that enable that person and look the other way. And we've seen some workplaces take steps. So, for instance, Mario Batali's restaurant group that he's now stepped away from in the wake of his misconduct allegations, they, you know, have taken steps to put prominent women in charge. They're doing sort of an overhaul of their HR. They're, you know, we'll see what comes of it. But in terms of, like, if you're an employee at that restaurant group, I think it's possible that things could get better for you. And then at other places, there's been a real range from maybe throwing an extra sexual harassment training at the problem to having a serious reckoning. And I think over the next months and years, we're going to see which companies are going to take this really seriously and which are going to try to sweep it under the rug.
Do you think that many of these cases in the Me Too movement are going to end up in court at any point? Or do you think most of them are being settled in the court of public opinion?
Well, so, I mean, we've seen some in court already. You know, we've seen the trial of Larry Nassar, you could call that, you know, sort of a Me Too moment. I don't know that that would have gotten the kind of really sustained public attention that it got. And I don't know that the survivors' statements would have gotten the really sustained public attention that they got were it not for the movement. And I think that was a really sort of powerful time where women came forward and finally, after not being listened to for a very long time, finally their words were really heard. You know, and he was sentenced, so that we've seen that in court.
Do you think there was really a safety in numbers aspect of the Me Too movement, that in many cases it was multiple people coming forward and saying that they had faced harassment or assault or whatever the case may be by the accused?
I think that's unquestionably true. I mean, we saw that first with Harvey Weinstein, where a few women came forward. I think it was helpful that some of those women were high profile. Ashley Judd, you know, was quoted under her name. And then the numbers just grew and grew. And I think, you know, dozens now of women have come forward about Weinstein. And that's really become a pattern for especially a lot of these high profile men. And I absolutely think that, you know, women are able to feel more safe, and any survivors are able to feel more safe when they have other people backing them up. I think the question is, what happens when you might be someone who is the only one?
Right.
What happens if, you know, you were assaulted by someone or you were harassed by someone you don't know anybody else that happened to? It doesn't make your experience any less valid. And so the question is, how do we evaluate that? And are we ready to listen to women who are the only one?
That's Anna North, who covers gender issues at Fox. Anna, very interesting to take a broader look at this. You know, we've been covering it bit by bit along the way, but to take a step back now, many months into this movement, and look at what exactly has happened. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.